Turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. And that's page 15. Remember, God structures his dealings with his people on covenants. And so God makes a covenant with Noah in which he preserves the world. And then that next covenant, not only Noah, but also with his family, but Abraham with his family, is the beginning of what we call the covenant of grace, where he begins this promise of blessing the earth, the families of all of the earth. Anyway, Genesis 17 on page 15, after God makes that covenant with Abraham, in verse 15, God says to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah." Now, they both mean princess, but we'll come to that later. The fact that he changes the name at this point is significant. "He will not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. Now, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and it will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." And it's out of the Ishmaelites that the Arab nations would come forth. And then in Genesis, the chapter 18, or 21 rather, verses 1 through 7, fulfillment of that promise at which Abraham laughed. "The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me.' And she said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne him a son in his old age.'" Now, all of that interesting language, Sarah bore Abraham a son, a child whom Sarah bore to him, is caught up in the language of the New Testament text, Hebrews 11 and verses 11 and 12. And that is page 1284 in your few Bibles, right before James. Verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord stands forever and forever. Hymn number 95 speaks of God's promises and the fact that God will provide even in the midst of the troubles that assail us. Hymn number 95, let's stand together and sing. And now, our Lord, come, and we pray that you would use Sarah and her doubts and her faith to lead us to the perfectly faithful one, Christ. Amen. Please be seated and turn back in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, page 1284. So long as we remember that it is the Lord's Day that is called Mother's Day, God has prior claim even over your moms, it really is fitting to take time to give tribute to mothers. I mean, the Bible does. You have Eve. You know, Eve, people think about Eve and the role and the temptation. But remember, brothers and sisters, that's your, go way, 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 way back. That is your first mother. Eve is the mother of all living. And it's interesting that in the book of 1 Samuel, the amount of attention that is given to Hannah, who was barren, and yet later would give birth to that one who actually began the whole institution of what we know of as the prophets in the Old Testament. So you have Hannah in the New Testament. Why, the New Testament opens up with Elizabeth. And she was also sort of like the one in our text today. She was also past the age to bear a child. And interestingly and curiously and with an important reason, she is found to be with child. She gives birth to John the Baptizer. And then as you go on in the New Testament, there's references to women. And we don't know if they were mothers or not, although some of them, like Lydia, were. But Lois and Eunice. Lois was the mother of the Apostle Paul's first intern named Timothy. And Eunice was the grandmother. And they were both believers in the Lord. And they're singled out as those involved in raising Timothy. And then, of course, Mary. Mary, the mother of our Lord, blessed are you among women. And while we don't venerate Mary the way they do in the Roman Catholic Church, she is blessed among women. She was the one who was privileged with giving birth to our Lord, the God-man. Anyway, we come today to the Hall of Faith again. And we're in the Patriarch section that began with Abraham last week. And this is really one room with a lot of pictures in it. And there's other pictures of Abraham. But today we're dealing with Sarah. In verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself. By faith, Sarah herself. And this text deals with her. Now, there are some difficulties in this text that is notoriously difficult to translate. And I would say the modern flow of commenting on this text takes the view that it is really just a continuation of dealing with Abraham here, because Abraham's dealt with in verses 8 through 10, and then we begin dealing with Abraham again in verse 3 and 13. And he really is, in one sense, the focus in verse 12. He's the one man, and him as good as dead. People say, well, it's kind of jarring that you kind of stick Sarah in there. And then also, that little phrase, receive power to conceive, is the term that's normally used for the male role in human reproduction. And so commentators look at this and say, well, it's really Abraham's faith that's in view. But there's a glaring problem with that you can see, because the text doesn't say by faith Abraham anything. It says by faith Sarah herself. And there's a focus on Sarah. So I am jealous to guard the fact that this is speaking of the faith of Sarah. Do you realize how appropriate that is for today? The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And in chapter 2 of his first letter, he starts laying out basically life in the Christian church. And there's a lot of roles from which women are excluded. And I'm not being facetious when I say this. We're on the defensive today because we don't ordain women to the office of deacon and elder. I hope you know me by now. I don't ever believe in being on the defensive when you believe what's true. The reason why God shields women from the ordained office of elder and deacon is to protect what the Bible calls the weaker vessel. And frankly, it is cruelty to take the burdens within the Christian church and place them on a woman who already, God knows, has the burden of having to be a helpmeet to her husband and has children as well. And so, ladies, it's no slight on you. It's to honor the Lord and it's to protect you that we seek to adhere, regardless of cultural currents, to what the Scriptures say. Anyway, in that section that excludes women from office, Paul says, but the woman will be saved in the childbearing, and that's physically giving birth to children as a part for the whole, okay, of what we would call parenting, okay? So, and saved here is receive your greatest blessedness. That's for another day. But a woman will receive her greatest blessedness in the childbearing, child rearing, if they continue in faith. I love this triad. Faith, love, and self-control. And dads, maybe we don't appreciate this much, but when our wives are getting up in the middle of the night all the time to deal with a colicky baby and to change the diapers, they trying to help us because we've got to be up early to go to our work. That takes love and self-control and faith. And incidentally, women who are single or never had children, remember, no one is childless in the Christian church. And Jesus says, those who have given up everything for me, they have in this life fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and lands and persecutions in the age to come, everlasting life. So really all women are included in this in one way or another. Anyway, so they continue in faith and holiness with self-control. Now, that being the case, let's look at Sarah's faith in this day. By faith, Sarah, that's the theme. And remember that chapter 1 is the conditioning statement in chapter 11. Faith is the substance, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What is faith? It's living with a conviction, a sure conviction that God's promises for the future, whether that be the next moment or the next week or the next year, eternity, God's promises for the future are absolutely sure. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's the purpose of verses 8 through 10 in Hebrews 11. Abraham was one who looked forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He lived with a conviction that God's promises for the future were sure. But listen, faith is also a conviction that God's promise of power for the present is also sure. And that's why Sarah is spoken of here. She had faith that God's power for the present was real. By faith, Sarah, listen to the text, remarkable text. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. And that really means to do everything involved with being the bearer of Abraham's seed. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And so Sarah has this power in the present that was real. Now, what we're going to do today, the outline is really simple. If you know a couple of prepositions, you got it. Each point is from something to something. From something to something. Why? Because as you go through the life of Sarah, there's a real process, a dramatic process, in Sarah's going from one thing to the other, and it's intimated in this text. So we're going to deal with from and to in every point. As we consider, remember, the woman will be saved and the childbearing her greatest blessedness if she continues in faith and holiness and love with self-control. And let's look at the faith that's mentioned here in its process. Number one, notice how Sarah's faith, look at the language. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. And to add it, Abraham is regarded as good as dead at his age. We're going from, Sarah's faith particularly, is from a deep sense of human impotence, which you are struck with, even in the text of Scripture. A deep sense of human impotence to God's power. From human impotence to God's power. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. Now, let's take some time and let's look at the Sarah story today. Put your bulletin in Hebrews 11. We'll come back to it. But for now, let's go to Genesis 11 and verse 30. This is page 11. Now, for a woman to be called barren is a tremendous embarrassment. A woman doesn't feel even like she's a woman if she's barren. But in Hebrews, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30, the Holy Spirit, writing through Moses after speaking of Abram's wife Sarai, it's almost like he put salt into the wound when he says, now Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Sarai at this point was 65 years old. Now go to chapter 12 and right down the way into verses 1 through 7. God calls Abram to go out from Ur of the Chaldees. And he says to this man whose 65-year-old wife, he was 75, his 65-year-old wife is barren. He's 75 years old. I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then as you go down into verse 7, after describing the land to which he's going to go, he says, to your offspring. And I can just imagine Abram saying, Lord, I'm 75 years old, and my wife is 60. To your offspring, I'll give this land. But that's the promise God made to Abram at age 75, Sarai at age 65. Now, go to chapter 15. Now God makes a covenant with Abram in which he promises to give him this land. And he says to Abram in verse 1, Genesis 15, your reward is going to be very great. Now the reward there, the children are a reward. The reward is the children that are going to come. Abram says, Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. That would have been the next one to get the land, even as a servant. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man, Eliezer, is not going to be your heir. Your very own son will be your heir. And he brings Abram outside and essentially gives him a sacrament. He says, look up at heaven, count the stars. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, if you've only seen stars, from Long Island with all of its lights. You don't know what this is about. I mean, you know, this is this huge, and you just can't even begin to count the stars in a square inch in this area without the pollution. He says, go ahead, count the stars. And he says to him, your offspring are going to be like that. And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And then, of course, he goes on and gives a covenant to give him the land. And here's Abram believed God. Now, chapter 16, they're getting on in years. And one of the themes that's very common in the scriptures is developed here. We wait for God to fulfill his promises. Nothing seems to happen, so we'll take things into our own hands. In the day you eat thereof, you should be like gods. That's what we want to be. And so Abram and Sarai, and you know the story. Sarai says, I'm going to have a child. Here, take my handmaid Hagar. Have a child by her, and we'll be fine. And so this was the time of the birth of Ishmael, and God did bring blessing. But this was not what God was going to do. Chapter 17. Now God makes a covenant, not only that there'll be land for them, but he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you and with your children. But he didn't have any. He is 99 years old, is Abram. And God says, I'm God Almighty. And he says that at this point. I have power to do all things. Walk before me and be blameless. Among other things, he says, don't take things into your own hands, that I may make my covenant between me and you. And here it comes again. And they multiply you greatly. Well, then Abram falls. Now, this is Abram who believed God. But now, this, folks, this is almost 25 years after the original promise comes. May I ask you, how do you respond to God's promises when you've been praying for something for 25 years? So Abram falls on his face, and God says, behold, my covenant is with you. You're going to be a father of a multitude of nations. Now, name change. I'm not going to call you Abram anymore, which means exalted father. But your name is going to be Abraham, which means exalted father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Now, I want to be respectful, but if I'm Abram, or Abraham at this point, I'm saying, yeah, right. I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90. Right. Father of a multitude of nations. You're even changing my name to represent that. And then God says, oh, Abraham, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful. I'm going to make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And this covenant that I'm going to make with you, so with your offspring throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant. Heart of that covenant, I'm going to be God to you and to your offspring. And I'm going to give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, what I promised to give you in the land of Canaan, and I'm going to be your God. I can't believe Abraham isn't saying, yeah, right. And then in verses 15 through 19, you realize he was saying, yeah, right. God says to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you won't call her name Sarai, but Sarah will be her name. In other words, see, and the reason for that is it means the same thing. Remember, you get a wedding band? You put it on from that moment of the wedding band. I remember almost 39 years ago, something different came in. I was married to Margaret Reeder, now Margaret Shishko. Sarai, from now on your name is Sarah, because from this point on, I'm confirming for you, you're going to have a child. And the very name is going to indicate that to you. I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become, she, barren, Sarah, 90. She shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, yeah. Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Lord, at least we have a child in this way. God says, Sarah, your wife, She's going to bear you a son, and you'll call his name Isaac. That's significant. I'll establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring with him. I'm going to continue to bless Ishmael. I will. But I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Now, push is coming to shove. Genesis 18 and verses 1 to 19, I won't read all of it, but God makes a special appearance to Abraham and Sarah with two of the angels and the Lord in what's called a theophany. An appearance of God in the Old Testament says in verse 9, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent cooking for them." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah's listening to the tent door behind him, and we're reminded again, as if we needed, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. And remember, she's still barren. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. You don't give birth to children at this point in your life. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, just when I said, about a year from now, I'm going to return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." She was afraid. He said, "Oh no, you did laugh." And he reminds them again. And he says, "Abraham, you're going to become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed in you." But a year later, chapter 21. The Lord visited Sarah, just as he said. And the Lord did to Sarah, just as he'd promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. The writer of Hebrews says that this aged, tired, barren woman received power from God. And brothers and sisters, I want you to be convinced that it is, in fact, in our times in which we feel most impotent, and we are, God shows His great power. Favorite verse for so many of you. "Even the youths shall run and grow weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint." And that's real. I was on the phone yesterday with the pastor of one of my spiritual fathers, G.I. Williamson. Oh, I love that man. G.I. is getting close to 90 years old now, I believe. And he has a hard time walking up steps. But he's a minister. And every week, he goes to the local prison because he wants to tell those in that bondage of how Christ can liberate them. How does that happen? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And that's what it was with Sarah. And of course, that pointed forward to other miraculous births. It's intended this way. Elizabeth was beyond the age where she could bear. But two, God gave her power and she conceived and of course gave birth to John the Baptizer. Even Mary, miraculous birth. The Lord overshadowed her. It's the same term, basically, as God visiting Sarah. God visited Mary and overshadowed her. Why is this done? Because it takes a miracle to change a fallen world. That's why. It takes something infinitely beyond the ordinary to change a fallen world. And God shows nothing will be impossible with Him by giving these miraculous births. And there's others of them in the Holy Scripture. Those are real miracles. And brothers and sisters, you know, I'm struck recently, and I read somebody this week who made the same point. I thought, good, great minds think alike. Be very careful about the language we use, and you use or I use, to describe fascinating things that aren't miracles. A miracle is something that goes way beyond the natural. And as amazing it is that people can put all this information on a chip of silicon, that's not a miracle. You know, the Apple Watch is a miracle. No, it's not. It's a sophisticated piece of technology. I don't know why anyone would want to watch that thumps their wrist when they get an email. That's something of the species of the sick. But anyway, but that's not a miracle. Hardly a miracle. Fascinating? Yes, it is. But let's take the language that describes God and reserve it for God, okay? Because this is really miraculous. And see, brothers and sisters, this giving us strength in weakness, that's God's order for Christians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Page 1233. You're familiar with these verses. 2 Corinthians 12. You know, the Corinthians, they boasted in strength. The Isthmian Games, the Olympics were held there, and everyone went to the gym, and everyone was trim, everyone was strong, and Paul comes, and Paul is weak. And they don't think he could be like these super apostles. And Paul's not defensive. In fact, he stuns us when he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 5, he says, on behalf of this man, he's speaking of himself before God, he says, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I'm not going to boast except in my weaknesses. You talk about turning an argument on its head. Paul, he's this weak guy. Even his speech doesn't come with strength. And Paul says, yeah, and I revel in it. Why? Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Paul was the one taken up to the third heavens. A thorn. I don't know why this is translated thorn. It's a torture stake was given to me in the flesh. Something I feel. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast even more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Pastor Zeki, you're in a steel container in the sun, feeling as if you're going to die. And Pastor Zeki says, I've never known the strength of God like that in my life. Folks, do you believe that? Or is your Christianity kind of a head trip? Oh, man, that's cool. That's not cool, folks. That's real. Sarah received power to fulfill her role in bringing into the world the promised seed of Abraham. Why does God do it like that? So that God will get the glory. That's why. God's about His being glorified as the one who does all of these wonderful things. We have, Paul says, this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, why do I say from human impotence to God's power? Is that part of your progression in your faith? You have this sense of your own weakness in whatever area. Do you know something of what it is to move along the track to say God's power is going to be perfected in my weakness? It was with Sarah. She went from a sense of human impotence to God's power. Is that with you? Now, second, notice that she goes, go back to Hebrews 11, not just from her own human impotence, or human impotence, period, because it was with Abram as well, to God's power. But she goes from the promises to the promiser. From the promises to the promiser. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. I'm not taking away the promises. What are promises? They're the stones on which you walk carefully, moment by moment, as you go through the heavy currents of the water of this life. Think of the promises. Okay, think of the promises, the I wills in Scripture. The Lord will bless His people with strength and peace. I will strengthen you. I will help you. What would you do without that promise? A big stone in the currents of the water in this life. I will provide all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ. What a wonderful stone to plant your feet of your faith on. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I will add all other things to you. What a great comfort it is. You seek to do above all else, regardless of the cost, what God would have you do. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. With Christ as Lord, yes, I'll give you rest for your souls. Another stepping stone we walk on. With long life, I will satisfy him. I will let him behold my salvation. You can see the shore of the world to come as you're on that stone. Or surely goodness and mercy will follow me, pursue me all the days of my life. I will. What would we do without those things? Promises of God. Stones that we walk. But listen carefully. We can too easily make those things into idols. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll add all these things to you. And while He does, and what's your temptation? It's to take the creature and so revel in it, you forget that it's from the Creator. And it's, again, not that the promises are bad or wrong, they're wonderful. But see, we're fallen people. And God knows our tendency to very easily substitute the gift for the giver. And so God is very wise in the way He usually delays His answers to our prayers. See, our responsibility is to turn from discouragement to devotion. And the way to do that is to go from the promises to the promiser. See, Sarah in herself, 90 years old, and even at first 65 years, you're going to have a child? That's the promise. And then there's the delay. And remember, what happens to you and to me when God delays answering our prayers? And then God, very graciously, almost at the same time He reaffirms the promise to Sarah, He appears to her. It's a concession to her weakness. That's why He rebukes her for her laughing. We'll come back to that. But He appears to her. He says, Sarah. She calls Him Lord. He's God. Is anything impossible for me? And it's not insignificant that that's exactly what God does in Christ. Israel had pretty much lost its faith that God was going to do what he promised. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as you look at Jesus, you see the power to fulfill every one of those promises. That's why Paul could say, as many as are the promises, they are all yes in Jesus Christ. When God appears, well, of course, there's a little bit more about Sarah, but we'll come to that. But that's why you focus on God, folks. Focus on Christ in your doubt, in your discouragement. What do? Saturate yourself in God. See, whatever else the problems are with these word faith preachers, the biggest one is they substitute the gifts for God. And it's when you really do feel an utter despair over God's promises, as you read the scriptures, and God gives grand finales in every page, grand finale fireworks displays of his power and his wonder and his grace and his love and his faithfulness. That's to help you too, to go in your faith from the promises. Yes, yes, you still cling to them, but you go to the promiser. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. You really believe that? No, we don't. You really, really believe that evil is going to triumph? I mean, Fox News tells you that every single day. Fox News and MSNBC and our national leaders and pundits, they don't govern the world, folks. And what is really scary is in a culture of evildoers and wrongdoers, the judgment upon them is the judgment of being burned up like grass in the hot sun. It should make us beg of God that he give repentance. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. Oh, well, that's just a crutch. No, it's not a crutch. Those are our legs. That's a retreat from reality to do that. No, it's not. It's to live in ultimate reality. In him, we live and move and have our very being. Folks, please, don't let the unbelieving world call the shots. You just need a crutch. No, I need a new life. God gives it. Ah, mysticism. Retreating from reality. I'm not retreating from reality. I'm praising the God who just gave you the breath to say what you did. See? Let your faith, though, move you from the promises to the promiser, and you'll get both. Stayed upon Jehovah. Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. Finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Okay, so Sarah, she's dead, she's barren. But what does the writer says? She considered him faithful who had promised. She went from the promises to the promiser. And then, I've got this in my notes. You're going to have to imagine it or just spell it out. Sarah's faith goes from laughter, small lettered L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, to, all caps, in glowing neon colors. Capital L, capital A, capital U, capital G, capital H, capital T, capital E, capital R. Notice Sarah. Is Sarah, folks, with all due respect, Sarah's really gotten a bum rap. And there's people say, wow, Sarah can't be in the hall of faith. I mean, she laughed even when God was... Well, I say this respectfully. That's being hypocritical. Which of us has not had times that we deep down inside kind of laugh or cry, wondering if God's going to fulfill His promises. How could she be in the hall of faith? I remind you, Abraham also laughed. Genesis 17, Abraham laughed. And people don't... Abraham is very clearly here in the hall of faith. He's a model of being justified by faith. But he too laughed. And be real, folks. You would too. You are 90 years old. You don't even want to get up out of bed when you're 90 years old. You are tired. And God says, oh, give it another year, and you're going to deliver a baby. Now, this is certainly miraculous. But Sarah was tired. And she doubted. And then, I think what is most significant, it's very interesting. There's no record of Sarah's doubt after the divine rebuke. Now, you laughed. And my guess is that Sarah's face went red with shame. And there's no other record of Sarah's being barren or being unbelieving at all. I guess she was too busy. She finds out she's with child. At that point, her belly was beginning to get bigger. And she could feel something she'd not experienced for 90 years of life. She's carrying a baby in her womb. And my guess is she was very occupied with getting the rest that she would need to deliver this baby. She is given power to conceive, and she is the bearer of Abraham's seed. That's the import of that language. She's given strength to conceive. She's the bearer of the, even as Mary is the bearer of the promised one, Sarah is the bearer of the promised seed of Abraham. And imagine what she was probably afraid. Am I going to lose this baby? Well, the Lord said you'd deliver a baby. I believe, help my unbelief. Am I really going to be able to carry this baby to term? Let alone feed the baby. Let alone have strength to deliver it. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles and run and don't grow weary and walk and not faint. And my guess is there was a supernatural interposition of strength as Sarah goes through her contractions. And 90-year-old Sarah pushes this baby into the world, all to the glory of God. And you see, God is gracious in our doubts. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The Lord is long-suffering and merciful and patient. And there were no rebukes. And here's where laughter, all small letters, they laughed, turns to laughter in all capital letters. Because you see, Isaac means laughter. It's actually he laughs, but it can be used for laughter. Sarah said, God's made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet had born him a son in his old age? And see, God gives a gracious, gentle rebuke to laughter with small letters. Yeah, you did laugh. But God thrills at the laughter that's in all caps. Why? God did exactly what He had promised. At least He began it with the birth of Isaac. And see, that was just the beginning. Verse 12. As from one man, and him as good as dead, that is Abraham, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven. Isn't that what God said, Abraham? Go and count the stars. That's how many your descendants are going to be. Yeah, right, Lord. He didn't say that anymore. And as if the Holy Spirit wants to seal this, he adds another simile: as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Go to Jones Beach and try to count all the grains of sand. And God says, you're not going to do that for very long, but I assure you, that's what's going to come from Isaac. Do you doubt it? This whole lesson is to teach us God's promises are real. Remember what faith is. It's living with a conviction that God's promises for the future are sure and that his power in the present is real. Now Sarah wouldn't see this. Not only would Isaac give birth to Jacob, Jacob would give birth to 12 sons. And those 12 sons would go into Egypt. And after 400 years, those 12 plus their spouses, the Jews in Egypt would have been the population of Nassau County. 1.5 million. I know Sarah wouldn't see it, Abraham wouldn't see it. But then they would go into their own land just as God had promised. And they would populate that land and live in a way that would make a very famous Queen of Sheba, who would have been like the president of Apple at that time for her skills. Even she was in awe of what God had done. But that still wouldn't be enough. Because God would eventually come, and you can read about this in Matthew and Luke, and in that line of Abraham and Sarah and the patriarchs and Israel, would come someone named Mary, and she would give birth to the only seed who had the power to do the wonderful work of taking people of every tongue and every tribe and every nation, drawing them to himself, and so working in their number that even the sand at Jones Beach seems minuscule in comparison. Revelation. Sarah can see something of this now. A multitude that no man can number, of every tongue and every tribe and every nation. See how God answers prayers? Exactly what he said. And so the text goes from laughter, all small L's, to laughter, all caps. I'll bet Sarah's laughing now. Truly, nothing is impossible with God. For mothers, and for all of you, especially for moms, though, learn from Sarah in the Hall of Faith. Our children and our grandchildren. It's human impotence, folks. Power to conceive physically, yes, although it is God who gives children. Power to make them new creatures in Christ, no. From human impotence to the power of God. Oh God, will you not rend the heavens and come down upon my own children? And yet we're meant to make that move. Trusting in the covenant? Uh-uh. Trusting in my parenting? Uh-uh. Even trusting in our prayers, be careful. No, it's trusting in the God that we lay hold of in prayer. Is your faith with your own children gone from a felt sense of human impotence? God knows that's probably one of the reasons why most, if not all of us, struggle to some extent with our children. Human impotence. To the power of God. Promises. Praise God for the promises. Promises to you and to your children and your children's children. Yes! Don't make an idol out of them. The promiser. The promiser. Not first the covenant of God, but the God of the covenant. The promiser. And then doubts and fears to laughter. I wonder what Samson's mother... Samson was also born in a very special way to Manoah and his wife. How'd you like to be the parents of Samson? This kid, you try to control him in the house? He's out and he's burning up the tails of foxes in your neighbor's fields. Hey, what did he do next? He's a womanizer. He patronized prostitutes. What a mess was Samson. My guess is that Manoah and their wives shed many a tear, making their mattress of their bed or whatever they slept on damp with the dew of their tears because of what they regarded as reprobate Samson. God worked faith in Samson. He's in the Hall of Faith. And at the end of his life, while he had to do it as a man whose eyes had painfully been plucked out of him, he looked to God and accomplished a great victory. That may be some of our children. I wonder what the wives, the mothers of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego must have thought. I think the only thing that comes close to this is Jews who saw their children carted off to concentration camps in Germany. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they're carted off to Babylon. And probably had no contact with their parents ever. How their parents must have bawled. God made Daniel second only to Nebuchadnezzar. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithful to the Lord, were exalted. And you know, brothers and sisters, I remember in this pulpit many years ago, preaching in Daniel, saying, hey, you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's the model. Young people, you're going to have to follow, because it may well be. In fact, I think I used to say, I don't think it's going to come in my lifetime, but at least in your lifetime, you're going to have to stand for the Lord faithfully, just as they did. Now it is coming in my lifetime, fast. And it's probably going to have to be led by pastors who have to lead God's people graciously and say, no, the state is not God, and the Supreme Court is not God either. What they must have thought, God did with those four what he's going to do with Christian young people in this country. You take away the stuff of committed, industrious, honest, earnest Christians. Yeah, and this culture really does go to hell in a handbasket. And when push comes to shove in a culture, you don't take wastrels and give them places of authority. I think there's going to be many a Christian-schooled one, many a homeschooled one, and many one discipled, even though that one that was in public school was going to have influence in our culture. Why God has promised that your children will be mighty in the earth as arrows in the hands of a warrior, so shall be the children of youth. Those are God's promises, folks. And with all due respect, our increasingly beast-like government is not more powerful than God is. Remember, you've got to go always to the promiser, the promiser. Lois, the mother of Timothy, her husband was a Greek. He was a Gentile. He wasn't a believer. Timothy becomes the model of a non-apostle, new covenant minister. Wow. And I wonder what it must have been like when Mary is at the foot of the cross, where her son Jesus is dying an agonizing death. And Mary must have been like Sarah, saying, God, you promised that this is the one who would bring peace and blessing to all of the earth. And God didn't make Mary wait 25 years. 3 days later, he raised Jesus from the dead. And when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, it's very interesting. What he says, he frames in the context of the promise given to Abraham. All authority is given unto me, God. I am God Almighty. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Abraham, and you and your seed, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed. Teaching them. Abram, teach your children. Baptizing them. Abraham, circumcise your children. And lo, I'm with you always. As God says, I will be your God always, even to the end of the age. This great promised seed, Jesus. He says, don't you ever doubt. You can go all the way back to my great, 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 great grandmother, Sarah, if you need to. And watch how God turned her from her impotence to the power of God, from the promises to the promiser, and from laughter, small L, to laughter, capital L. And see, here's what's great. God never says He's going to do what we ask. He says, I'm going to do not just above what you ask and think, but I'm going to do exceedingly above it. And see, that's why, brothers and sisters, our comprehension of the promises of God, I'm sorry to say, is way too small. God says, I'm going to do far, far more. And in glory, that's going to bring laughter. It's going to be the fulfillment, I'll use a fancy word, the eschatological fulfillment. The fulfillment in all eternity of that little adage. He who laughs last, laughs best. But it's going to be accompanied by a hymn. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And so for moms and for all of us, from the Hall of Faith, lessons from the life of Sarah. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your power. But our God, above all else, we praise you for yourself. God, transform our view of our weakness, physical, spiritual, and in every other way, so that we can say with Paul, we boast in our weaknesses because they make us look to you for your strength. And God, make us to be people walking carefully but surely on the stones of your promises, going through the heavy-duty currents of life. But Lord, don't let us make idols, even of the promises. We pray, our Lord, that we would always, in the promiser, see something to which the promises only in a very little way point. And God, make us to be a people who go from the laughter and sometimes the tears and the fears of doubt to be a people in this life and surely in eternity who laugh with Sarah because of the Isaacs of the promises that you fulfill before our very eyes. We pray in the almighty name of the promised seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Amen.